Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. Our world is in incredible turmoil today. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon. And I am going to fulfill my mission for this broadcast of sending out stories that I am confident are going to make you feel just a little bit better about yourself and about the world in which we live, because I cannot influence what's happening in the Middle East. I cannot influence what's happening in Washington, D.C. I can only influence what's happening here on the magical isle of Vashon, and that I am going to do my best. My greetings today go out to all who, especially over the weekend, especially over Easter weekend, ventured out onto the great waters in boats of their own owning. And I send this greeting out because one of the things that I'm going to talk about a little bit downstream from right now is that I took Midori out for the first voyage under my command over the weekend. And it was a glorious day, and I'm going to have a little bit to say about that, because there are a couple of things that need to be done. I am not CASREP Midori, but there are a couple of things that need to be done, and those will get done, and we'll talk about those a little bit farther in the broadcast. The binnacle list today is a very difficult one for me, not because anybody has crossed the bar, but because several people are newly entered on it who are very close to me and close to my heart. A couple of new entries. One of them, our friend Mike on the Coast Guard Channel, had to be inducted for a short period of time into an emergency room over the weekend. Hopefully things are going to come back together for him. And the my Amsterdam family, I had a call this morning from the person who donates to me periodically the Andy phone, and there are some serious testing going on there and some serious downstream effects if this testing turns out to be what it is beginning to look like. So those people, and in particular, Karen, who was in the automobile accident and got rear-ended. So all of those people are close to me personally. But I'm adding into the binnacle list all of the women and children at risk all over the world. There are thousands of them. I was in Da Nang, just south of the demilitarized zone, the DMZ, in Vietnam, right after Tet. And I remember seeing all of the refugees, mostly women and children, that had come across the border from the other side, from North Vietnam. It is a terrible, terrible thing to see. And I have seen just a little bit of it. My guess is that the commander-in-chief has never actually seen. My guess is that the Secretary of State has not actually ever seen. It would be my hope and my wish, and certainly my command, that some thread of humanity would cause these people who have never seen, but who once they have seen, would say there's got to be another way to do this, whatever this is. So that is my binnacle list today for my own self. I continue to thrive, and when I talk a little bit about taking Midori out, I did not take with me any of the self-insertable tubes, which I carry in my flight bag and also in my luggage when I travel. That is how confident I am that I've got this thing pretty much under control. So we'll talk a little bit about taking Midori out. That was on Sunday, and my friend and neighbor, colleague, my boss, when I am working with Mr. Yuck, and now my crew member, Dr. Phillips from next door, was my crew member. And we did some checks. We checked the bilge pump, and it is functioning properly. There is a little float switch down in the bilges. There is a little water in the bilges. I'm not sure where it's coming from. But one of the things that I thought that we needed to get sorted out was the marine toilet. So I went into Midori's head and made sure that the valve to the water intake, the salt water intake from the outside the hull, was open, and that the all of the other valves were lined up to convey the contents of the marine toilet into the holding tank. I pumped away with great skill and enthusiasm, and discovered that almost no water is flowing through the marine toilet. That means, of course, that we need to go into the instruction manual, which I did. I went into the instruction manual to the section which says what you do if you don't get any water. It referred me then to the what in the military is called the IPB, the Illustrated Parts Breakdown. This particular model of marine toilet looks to me like it has about 3,423 individual parts, O-rings, little check valva, little check valves, little valves that allow water to flow in only one direction and not the other. And, of course, the objective of the exercise is to make sure that everything that goes into the marine toilet from the top goes into the holding tank. Clearly, I need to exercise some of the skills that I learned as a student engineer in tracing out the piping in order to make sure that it is a straight shot from the salt water outside the hull, through the toilet, and into the holding tank. I did a little bit of pipe and line tracing, and I discovered a three-way valve. I thought, aha, this valve may have become stuck in either the open or the closed position, thus preventing the proper flow of materials into the holding tank. The three-way valve is completely frozen on its shaft and will not turn, and so I need to get in there, and if I am careful and skillful, I will not shear off the valve from the stem. Always a possibility in these things. So that's the first thing. That's at the top of the work list. And Dr. Phillips and I decided that, we would only take the boat out this time on the engine, and that we would, in our next voyage, go out and start to use the sails. Now, the engine on this boat is not the one with which she was built. The one that's on there now is a permanently installed Honda outboard engine, and it is permanently installed with backing plates. It has an electric motor that raises and lowers it, and it is actually a lovely piece of machinery. The original engine that was in the boat when she was built many, many years ago was a little four-cylinder gasoline engine called an Atomic Four. And somewhere in her life, the Atomic Four was removed, and this outboard was put in, actually a predecessor to this outboard. This one is fairly new. Now, I know a little bit about outboard engines. I know that, for example, that they are cooled by salt water, which circulates around the jackets around the combustion chambers, and then exhausts out through the exhaust, along with the exhaust, which exhausts out below the waterline. But in order to make sure that there is water flowing, there is a little set of tubing, and this set of tubing ventilates out to weather. And through this tubing, you're supposed to see a stream of salt water, which tells you that there is water circulating. And because this is a permanent installation, there is also an indicator on the console that tells you whether or not the engine is overheating. So, again, before starting the engine up, and having briefed on this by the owner from whom I bought the boat, of course, I also did indeed read the instructions and lowered the engine into the water and started it up. And sure enough, right out through those little tubes came a little stream of salt water. I said, aha, all is well. We are ready to get underway. Take in 1, 3, and 4, hold 2. Those were the instructions that I gave to Dr. Phillips. Then, the little stream of water through those pipes stopped. So, item number 2. On the work list, I now have to clean out those little tubes to make sure that the water that tells me that there is salt water circulating. But I was not getting any indication that the engine was overheating, and so I made a command decision that we would go ahead and take her out, get her underway, and that's exactly what we did. And I never got a high temperature indication, so that tells me that there is cooling water circulating. We took her out into the middle of Quartermaster Harbor. I did some rubber docking to become familiar with her handling characteristics. She does not like to back down. And she also likes to carry, so far as I can tell right now, when she's under power, she likes to carry just a little bit of weather helm. But it was indeed a glorious day. I am confident that I can solve the toilet problem. I am confident that I can solve the cooling water indicator problem. And I am now going to buy a new compass, because the little Ritchie compass that was in there has lost all of its fluid. Now, you can tell from all of this that Midori has already become close to my heart, A, and B, is becoming one of those, in her case, the hull is white, becoming one of those white holes down which I will continue to pour a considerable amount of money. But at the same time, I have had my full purchase price value of money enjoyment out of her. The operational question that I need to solve is that I do want to single-hand her, and I can easily get her out of the slip single-handed. I just throw all the lines off, hop aboard, and back her out, or back the jib if I'm going to try to get her out without using the engine. I can do that. It is getting back. She's too big and too heavy for me to put her alongside in the slip and then dock jump. She's just not going to sit there. So I've got to solve that particular problem. But all of this is to say that all is well in my relationship with Midori, and Dr. Phillips is proving to be a wonderful crew member, and we have many hours, and I am confident days of enjoyment with her. And the next voyage that we take her out, I hope that will be soon, will be the first time that we set sail. So the magazine this week is The Week. And in The Week, for this week, there's a lot of gloom, and there's a great deal of information about the oil blockade and the Strait of Hormuz and all of those things. But I went to the section called It Wasn't All Bad. And here is the quote from that section from It Wasn't All Bad. And this is really good news. Scientists at the University of Edinburgh have worked out how to turn discarded plastic bottles into a drug to treat Parkinson's. Currently, the drug, levodopa, is often produced using fossil fuels. Instead, the team in Edinburgh, The team in Edinburgh genetically engineered a bacteria to break PET, the plastic used in bottles, down into its chemical building blocks and turn that into levodopa, a process they liken to brewing beer. There, the Scots have got it again. The breakthrough, they said, could pave the way for a major bio-upcycling industry, and I count all of that as really good news, and that means that I now go to the section of the magazine that is with property for sale. And I have picked out a place for us to buy. And the title of the page this week is Houses with Some Religious Either Connection or Significance. And so I'm looking for that page. Here we go. Houses with Religious Connections. And the house that I've selected is in Kent. And it is the Old Rectory in Ludenham, a delightful grade two timber-framed 16th century former rectory set in approximately 2 acres of natural gardens, main suite, to three further baths, and we all know that those are just little tiny compartments, no shower, a family bath. How about that if you don't want to take a shower alone? There you go, a family bath. A kitchen, breakfast room, two recepts, that means two what we call living rooms, a self-contained one-bedroom flat, another one-bedroom cottage, a triple garage, a workshop, a garden. All of this in Kent, which is to the south of London. The price is £1.5 million sterling, which is a little bit above our £1 million, but I suspect that that one is negotiable, and I think that that is the only downside, of course, is that it is not in Cambridgeshire. The book this week is also going to contribute to my mission for today. It isn't really a book. It is the Cordless Grease Gun User Manual. Now, here's the story on that. I own a John Deere tractor, a small John Deere tractor. It has no power steering. It has no power lift for the mower deck. It's just a little John Deere garden tractor. I have not been conscientious enough about making sure that it is undercover at all times. And so the steering has become somewhat constricted. Well, that's not to put too fine a point on it. It won't steer at all. It has Zerk fittings on the steering knuckles, the kingpins. And so I decided that nothing would do, but that I would get a heavy-duty grease gun to grease not only the kingpins on the John Deere tractor, but also to for many other things that one might have or that Dr. Phillips has. He owns a John Deere Gator, which has a number of Zerk fittings on it. So this was an investment for the both of us, and it showed up. I ordered it from that place where one buys all sorts of things in this world. I ordered it from Amazon, and it appeared. And it appeared in a very heavy-duty plastic case, and it has about 35 pieces to it. And it came with an instruction manual called the Cordless Grease Gun User Manual, including two batteries and a battery charger. Now, I am going to use grease cartridges in it, but I went into the manual just in case I wanted to load it with bulk grease. And here are the instructions for loading this with bulk grease rather than a cartridge. Rotate the barrel to the suction plate before the oil suction pressure oil absorption of air inside the plate of the grease bucket emptying until the grease thread mouth full to the oil absorption effect is better. If not, press the suction plate education barrels of oil in the air. There will be an oil suction pipe air too much. Step 2. The barrel and oil absorption plate tight. 3. Hold, shake hands, handle, pull, zipper absorbs the cask of grease after the completion of the zipper card on the back cover card buckle. Step 4. Rotate the barrel to the spear. Loosen the zipper to put the zipper back inside the barrel. Use the handle easily preview magnet absorption on the back cover. Those are the instructions. Now, clearly, I am not going to try to follow those instructions in order to load from some bulk source. I just mentioned all of this to tell you that if you get a cordless grease gun user manual, I urge you to follow the instructions only up to the part where you load it in bulk and use a cartridge. I will report here on my success, or lack thereof, with this whole operation, including whether I get the steering of my John Deere tractor freed up so that I can cut the grass because it is beginning to get pretty long. In the Great Lakes, the ice is holding on. I have been following the adventures of the Coast Guard cutter Spar. Spar is at least the second of that name. She carries the name of the Coast Guard cutter Spar, which was part of the convoy that made the first circumnavigation of the North American continent in 1957, along with Spar and Storrs. And so this Spar is the modern version of that ship. She is a buoy tender, but she also has an ice-breaking bow. And she has been working around Duluth because the shipping season in the Great Lakes has started. The locks at the Sioux are now open, and ships are loading taconite in Duluth and coming out and hitting an ice barrier. Spar has been breaking them out. And in particular, I've been following the joint adventures of Spar and of the 1942 built several names ships, Lee A. Trigertha. Lee A. Trigertha belongs to the Interlake Shipping Company. They have a maroon livery. When they are freshly painted, they really are truly lovely. If you like the shape of lake boats, and I do. Lee was built in 1942 as a Navy oiler. And she's had several names. She's been re-engined. She was originally a steam turbine, a turbine reduction drive, like my Ingham. And she's been lengthened and widened and re-engined and renamed several times over. But she is still carrying ore, and she is still working her way through the ice. So I've been watching as Spar was the ship that was breaking her out and getting her moving and keeping her moving. And it was really an interesting thing to watch. Now, I'm pretty critical of icebreaking ship handling. And I'm critical of that because I've done a little bit of it myself. And my preference is to be working really close. And that means that you need to be calibrated to your own command very, very, very closely. So I was watching Spar, and at the beginning of her time, as she was working with Lee A. Trigertha, she was working way, way out. And it was taking longer for the two of them to accomplish their mission than it would have if she were working really in close. When you have a ship stuck and she can't get anywhere, the way you do it is you come up alongside, you go alongside her length, and that loosens up the ice on either side of her, and then you get out in front of her and you have her come ahead in your wake. And as the time went on, Spar's captain figured it out. And so the last one that I saw was just a couple of days ago. Actually, it was last night. And he was indeed working really nice and close aboard. Well done to you, Captain. And that's how we learn how to do those things. So I have one thing that I've really got to get moving on, and that is to start and then complete having all of the turnover files ready for my family when I cross the bar. The Coast Guard retirement community had issued a publication which was to help us do that, and I looked at it and I thought, I really need to get started on this. And then yesterday, an advert showed up in the same general area of YouTube as the Lee A. Trigertha Spar work, and it is something called a knockbox, spelled N-O-K-B-O-X, a knockbox. And this is files and instructions and forms, and it is spelled N-O-K-B-O-X. N-O-K stands for next of kin. So I am going to buy one of these, and I'm going to start to fill it all in so that my next of kin, when I cross the bar, and may it be a long way off, will have all of this done. And with that, I see with my hope, my wish, and my command that regardless of what's going on in the world today, that everyone who has spent a half hour with me feels just a little bit better about themselves with my adventures with Midori and with all of the other things that we talked about today, including the cordless grease gun, that all of Captain Joe's people that are on the binnacle list, you are in the palm of my hand, and I will be broadcasting live from the captain's chair in the Gene Boss studio again next week. And with that, this is, as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.